Very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your Yarn in Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm coming to you live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country. That's BBM Bumper Brip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. And I take this opportunity to acknowledge traditional owners of the land where we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across the beautiful country of ours. Welcome back, National Talk Black. Have you seen Yana Strong? All ears here on your daily program, National Talk Black. All right, now stigma, the unexpected symptoms of Aussies living with diabetes. Majority of Australians living with diabetes have experienced diabetes stigma at some point in their lives. While 1 in 5 Australians living with type 1 diabetes have been discriminated against in the workplace because of the condition. Having access to discrete, waterproof, wearable insulin management technology such as the Omnipod dash system could be a solution to avoiding stigma associated with managing diabetes. And look, with that, we're going to catch up a yarn there with Stacey Mouragounis. Type 1 diabetes and type 1 diabetes of over 4 decades discusses the impact stigma has on her life. On the line, Stacey, good morning. How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Where are you based, Stacey?
I'm in Melbourne.
In Melbourne. Okay, I'm in Cairns, far north Queensland, hillbilly up north, so thank you very much for coming to the program. Tell us about your story with diabetes. When were you diagnosed and how long have you been living with it, sister?
Sure. I was diagnosed in 1978. I was 6 years old at the time and I've been living with it for 44 years.
Okay, so we talk about the stigma that people carry that when they've got diabetes. So tell us about your life and discrimination is the word that comes to the table.
Yeah, absolutely. When I was diagnosed at 6. As I said, my parents had migrated from Greece to Australia. Mm. So I was brought up in a family who didn't understand much English. So when I was diagnosed, of course, my father was a bit stressed out and couldn't understand what was wrong with his daughter. Mm. And to the point he took me to New South Wales and wanted to fly me to London to find me a cure because he couldn't understand there was no cure. Mm. And the stigma around it back then was that she's sick and she's going to die. Mm. And that's not what type 1 diabetes is about. You're sure. Not going to die. Or yes. If you don't manage it properly, that is.
Sure, exactly. And discrimination, as growing up and even becoming a teenager, kids are cruel. To tell us your life there. You there, Stacey? Stacey. Lost Stacey. Stacey, we'll try and get Stacey back. Stacey has been living with diabetes, as she mentioned there, for over 30, 40-odd years. And just talking about the stigma that comes with that when living with diabetes, unexpected symptoms of Aussies living with diabetes, and the majority of Australians living with diabetes have experienced diabetes stigma at some point in their lives. So just trying to get the information there about how a person can live with diabetes. I think we've got Stacey back. Stacey there?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry about that. Not sure
all good.
What happened.
All good, all good. So just talking about stigma, about the this discrimination with diabetes. I mean, you said you got diagnosed when you were 6 years old. So when you go in your teenage life, I mean, kids can be very cruel. So tell us about abuse or how you got treated as such.
So when in my teenage years in high school, it was very difficult for me. I didn't talk about it much. Mm. I kept it a secret because I was quite embarrassed. And when kids did find out, they would question me, what's wrong with you? You're sick, you're diseased. Mm. It wasn't easy in high school, but like I said, I mainly ignored it. And if anyone did pull me up on it, I would walk away because I was that embarrassed about having a disease.
And talk about the medicines that you had growing up. It's all changed now. We're talking about Omnipod, DAS systems. But tell us about growing up and what did you do to control diabetes?
Sure. So when I was first diagnosed, I actually had to wee in a potty and we had to measure my blood sugar with my urine with a stick and measure it with colours. Of course, that's not accurate compared to today with your finger pricking and the sensors that we've got.
Yes.
And we also used, or my dad used, vial bottles of insulin. The insulin back then was made from animals, from what I believe, because now it's human.
Yes.
And we had big, thick syringes, and that's how I would, my father would give me my injections every day. And, of course, now I'm on the Omnipod Dash, which you mentioned, and it's just changed my life. I no longer have to give myself an injection.
Okay, so how do you look after diabetes now?
Now, certainly. So I'm very meticulous with how I do everything with my food, what I eat. Everything is controlled, my choice, not my doctor's choice, in what I eat. I'm very careful with my carbs. I input into the personal device manager, which is attached, not attached physically, but works with the Omnipod Dash wirelessly. I input my carb intake, and then it delivers insulin into my body from the little device that's stuck somewhere on my body.
Okay, fantastic. And so this is better for people with diabetes and making their life a lot easier. And discrimination is really not there, is it?
Absolutely. It's fantastic. It's literally changed my life. I actually don't feel like a type 1 diabetic because I live my life normally without having to stop and pull up my skirt or my dress or my, my top to give myself an injection in my tummy. Regards discrimination, people do look at the pod because when it's on my arm, people see this thing sticking there and they look at it, but I have found that a lot of people are too scared to ask the question, what's that on your body?
Sure.
Haven't been discriminated, oh, look at you, look at what you've stuck with all these devices. It's more people aren't aware that this, we've got this now, and it's a life-changing. It's the best.
Beautiful. Yeah,
and,
beautiful.
Yeah.
And when you see, look, this day and age, people have got things on their arm anyway, whether they're you know, measuring their steps or, you know, their fitness or what have you, or their iPod or whatever the case may be. So it's just another device. People would just look at it and sort of look away, wouldn't think much of it.
Yeah, correct. And I've seen it. I've been on an aeroplane, and when you know how we sit up to race out the front door of the plane, the amount of people that have walked past and have just stared at my arm thinking, what is that? And I sit there thinking, just ask me. I'm more than happy to tell you.
Exactly.
It's my pancreas just sticking on my arm.
Yeah, fantastic. So and the fact that, very sad, but they're saying 1 in 5 Australians are living with type 1 diabetes. So for young people, if a young person at the age 6 was diagnosed, well, they're in a better situation than you was 30-odd years ago, yes?
Absolutely. Nowadays, compared to what I went through to nowadays, so much easier to manage and control it with what we have. Absolutely.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, thank you for sharing, Stacey. All the best to you, my sister. Stay warm down there in Melbourne. And we'll yarn soon, my sister. All the best to you. Take care, eh?
Thank you. You too. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Diddly yarn there. Stacey Murriganis, her name is, and type 1 diabetes for over 4 decades, discusses the impact of stigma has on her life, but it has simmered down in regard to the technology, management technology, such as the Omnipod Dash system, and a solution to avoiding stigma associated with managing diabetes. And when people are different, people frown on people who are different. When we're talking about a disease as such, diabetes, well, back in the day, and had the insulin and what have you. Well, not so much now. So just talking about how people live with the stigma that goes with it. But love and respect everybody. That's what it's all about. And all about racism. Yeah, we wear this black skin. It comes out every now and again, racism. And that's another form of racism and diabetes because someone's different. So there it is. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong? Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black. And the deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, text a brother 045-714-0550. And the brother I'm talking about is Bully One here, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Recurry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, on our program live at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. On your dingy country, BBM, Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation. Thanks to NERS. Very good morning, NERS. Hope you're well. Deadly team down there at Brisbane at the Beamer office, Brisbane Digital Media Association. And big shout out to Jai and all these deadly mob down there as well at the Beamer. And all our First Nation radio stations across the country to Deadly Mob, Deadly Black Network. Yarn Up Strong here, 1-800-422-416.
Like a dream, I close my eyes. rises like a flame. And when it burns, it burns my heart in two.
Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
Come ya little bro, bro, come ya, you run go tell my lady. I go take a flop out, go TI, I won't be back till Friday. I'll buy your favorite Chicken Island rooster, one cotton, low fashion pop. So if you wait for me, Los Angeles Beach, if not, say see your boy. If I know low boat, I low dinghy, you are cheap on island too. If you look sea white from long way, you savvy me fly, you cruising through. Whoa, yo, 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 come ya, little bro, bro, come ya, you run, go tell my lady. I go take a flip boat, go TI, I won't be back till Friday. I'll buy your favorite Chicken Island rooster, one cotton, blow fashion pop. So if you wait for me, Los Angeles Beach, if not, say see you more. Thank you. a final abode, I love dinghy. You achieve an island too. If you look see right from long way, you sabi me fly, you're cruising through. Whoa, yo, 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 come ya little bro, bro, come ya, you run, go tell my lady. I go take off the boat, go TI, I won't be back till Friday. I'll buy you favorite chicken island rooster, one cotton blow passion pop. So if you wait for me, Lord, send me. If not, say you won't. Come here, little bro, bro, come ya, you run, go tell my lady.
Tell my lady.
I go take a flip boat, go TI, I won't be back till Friday.
Till Friday.
I'll buy you favorite chicken island rooster, one cotton blow passion pop. So if you wait for me, Lord, send me. If not,
say she a wolf.
So if you wait for me, Lord, send me. If not,
say she a wolf.
Say she a wolf.
Hey, you used my boat last. No petrol. Where's the petrol? Ah, oh, we're stuck now.
Yeah, to Delhi Mob, welcome back to your Delhi program, National Talk Black. Have you seen Yan Up Strong? 1-800-422-416 and call that number. Yan with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev Murray from Macquarie, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country. That's BBM Bumper Brip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. 1-800-422-416. Let's look at the news, top stories for today. Here, ABC, hundreds of thousands of Australians are on edge of the mortgage cliff. Is the RBA about to push them off? The story is Sydney Morning Herald. Barilalaro trade appointment amounted to jobs for the boys' inquiry fines. After a tough year, there are signs the construction sector is on road to recovery. The Australian bashing, killings, rapes, living in the hellholes of Alice Springs. And we're talking about Jacinta Nambajinwapa. Price was just 12 when she lay all night with her baby cousin after her parents rescued the 1.5-year-old boy away from alcohol-fueled violence. The country Liberal senator recalls driving into the Indirinja town camp, also known as Little Sisters, outside Alice Springs with her parents to rescue the baby as her auntie and uncle were caught up in mob all fighting. That night I wanted to just protect him, she said through tears. I remember we were driving in there and everything was going on and him being handed over to us and then driving away. I remember holding him in my arms all night, putting him to sleep next to me and just slept next to me all night. The toddler's father, a man she loved deeply, died from excessive alcohol consumption. Watching loved ones succumb to grog, the horrific murder of her aunt, and the sexual assault in some way, shape or form of every woman in her family are among the standout childhood memories for Price as she leaves her troubled hometown for Canberra in the first sitting week of the Parliament year. Price says these memories all drive her to fight to restore sweeping alcohol bans to Alice Springs and surrounding communities. The senator with the coalition's backing will move to present a bill this week that would immediately reintroduce the restrictions that existed under the LAFS Stronger Futures legislation. Her bill was forced drug bans in communities until they develop alcohol management plans with the help of the federal government. Labor has not said whether it will back the bill. Price's legislative push comes as a secret report about the issues in Alice Springs held tight between Anthony Albanese and senior Northern Territory government ministers is set to be released by the end of the week. So there's a statement there from Jacinta Price. Other stories here, from high mum to crypto fraud, the latest scams to watch out for. All the best 2023 Grammys red carpet looks. Popular foods likely linked to deadly cancers, and they share one thing in common. Here's why that your house is so dusty and how to fix it. Also stories here, I'm sorry, but all this ADHD doesn't add up. Kerry borrowed at 19% interest rate. She says millennials need to sacrifice if they want to own their own home. So they're the stories that head up the news today. I'd like to talk about any of those topics. Give us a call here on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Or any topic you can talk about, all ears here on your daily program, National Talk Black, with Trendy Trev, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM, Bumba Brit Media, 98.7 FM, and across the nation, thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service, 1-800-422-416.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Yes, a very good morning, your daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumba Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Yarn up strong, your mob, too deadly. Now, Circa Cairns, the new First Nations-led circus ensemble, supported by award-winning performance company Circa Contemporary Circus, will present their newest work to Cairns' audience. That's all happening on the 10th and 11th of February at CPA, Cairns Performing Arts Centre. And look, we're going to catch up a yarn now with the creative director and performer, wear many hats, Deadly Brother, by the name of Harley Mann. Harley, a very good morning. How are you?
Hey, Trev, how you doing?
I'm fantastic. Before we start, my brother, let the mob know who your mob were you from.
Yeah, I'm a Waka Waka, but I grew up in Sydney on Gadigal country. Mm. And then I moved to Melbourne, so onto Bunurong country. And now I'm all the way up here with Yuz Mob.
Yeah, saw the light come north, eh?
Yeah, getting too cold down there.
The heat is on up here, don't worry about that. Look, congratulations, we got the performance of The Wet, is what you call it. So tell us about this Delhi performance happening on February 10th and 11th at CPA. And also want to get a bit of background on your work and how you become part of Circa Cairns, please, brother.
Yeah, so Circa Cairns is an exciting ensemble of artists up here in Cairns, and we've been supported and fostered by Circa, which are a contemporary circus company based in Brisbane. And the circus sector has been missing our voices, you know. It's one of those art forms where, I mean, it's like a lot of art forms, particularly from major cities, where you see a lot of white stories and white faces on stage. And we kind of went, what are we doing?
We need colour.
Yeah, what are we doing?
This we is need so colour on stage.
Hey, this is too beige. So we were like, all right, let's make an ensemble. Let's do a thing. Let's find a place that's connected to people and culture and stories. And with the support of Euron and Circa and the Deadly team down there, we came up with Circa Cairns. And we've come up here, and we've been here now since July. July last year, yeah. And we've been working since then on how to make shows that are really about the stories of this place, which leads us to The Wet.
To The Wet, okay. In regard to the area we live in, monsoonal season, cyclone season, and we get our wet. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, and for me, it was this thing of kind of going, all right, telling stories about place and being in place and being where we are is something it's kind of misunderstood in a sort of modern context by a lot of people, I think. You know, it's so strange that, like, wet season is when you don't come to Cairns, you know. It's not good.
It pushes all the tourists away.
Yeah. Oh, it's horrible. It's not when you should come. But there's such like an intricacy and a beauty and life and nourishment that happens during that time, and we wanted to capture that in a way that exposes the beauty that the people of this place have always known and understood and had a response and respect for forever.
Well, coming up to Christmas, September, October, November, December is when the heat is on. That's summer. And come just after December, after Christmas, January, we as locals welcome the wet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I said, flourishes like, and it may rain for a day. It's like the water washes all the dirt off the leaves of the rainforest, and the lush green again.
Yeah, you know, the new life. You know?
New life. Mm.
Yeah.
So you created the performance, The Wet, around that in regard to educating, teaching, and
educating,
grasping the beauty.
I think so. And what we did was we went, you know, we can't just come here, stomp our feet down and go, we know this place, because we're not from here, or I'm not from here.
So you would have had conversations, I think, with the traditional owners of the land here?
Yeah, conversations. We went on a tour of Far North Queensland last year, where we went to communities and did some workshops with Mob and engaged with place and existed in place and had yarns and listened to aunties about the stories of this place. What do they see? What do they remember? What does it feel like for them to inspire the acrobatic story and the acrobatic circus that we're doing in this show?
And let's talk about that quickly. Circa. So Circa, when you think of Circa, we think straight away circus. Acrobatic acts and what have you. So is that the foundation of your work?
Yeah, so we're a contemporary circus company.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean that what we do is limited to circus. It's a physical expression, something that we've known for, you know, ever. It's a way of telling stories and passing on knowledge and embedding identity and culture and respect and morality into the way we communicate. It's just a different form.
And the flow of the body is the conversation.
That's right.
Storytelling.
Yeah, and it's finding the metaphors within our body, the way we hold each other, the way we push each other away, the way we stand and support each other through the acrobatics, through the flips, through the pyramids and the towers and the suspension to tell that story.
Fantastic. So the wet is operating on February 10th and February 11th. Now, you were saying that you had conversation with traditional owners and with aunties and with elders and what have you. Also getting permission to run with the story?
Yes, of course.
Thank you.
And the way we make our shows and circuses, it's not traditional story. You know what I mean? It's we exist in this place, and it's about feeling the energy of being hot, being sweaty, being engaged with this place, and feeling what it's like to be on country. It's not a yarn about how this place came to be. It's not a dreaming story. It's not a traditional story at all. It's a contemporary interpretation of being on country.
Being on country and the country as it is today.
As it is
here
today.
Here we are, 21st century, what have you. But it's also the stories that goes with that after talking to Alice, permission to do so, entwine it all in the circa program.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Fantastic. So how many are on board? How many we'll see on stage, so to speak?
There's five acrobats in the show, so five bodies on stage, and we kind of all move in and around each other and do different acts. You know, there are times when it's just one person telling their story or one person being...
Isn't it narrated?
It's completely non-verbal.
Okay, music?
Music, soundscape. Okay.
And is there a description of wording on the screen to tell us where we are, or do we just
you've got to listen with your eyes.
Okay, listen with your eyes. I love that. So this is all happening at CPAC, Cairns Performing Arts Centre, February 10 and 11. I just mentioned that. So the cost and the time of performance.
So it's the 10th and 11th of February at 8 p.m. At CPAC. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There are tickets available online at CPAC website, or at the door. Mm-hmm. Coming along, it'd be great to see Mob there.
The other four performers, are they First Nation?
Not all of our acrobats are First Nation. So Circa Cairns work in a model where we're trying to work to improve inclusion and access within the circus sector.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't start by excluding, but rather by including. And so we're working in a model, but we are working with a predominantly First Nations ensemble.
Cool.
And local acrobat Jilly Blue Riley is also a part of our ensemble. And then we've got a few of the artists from the Brisbane-based Circa Ensemble are up here with us as well.
Is there opportunities for young First Nation students to come on board to become a circa performer?
Oh, definitely. That's the whole vision, you know, reaching out and engaging with local artists to push the boundaries of what circus is, what it means, what we do.
Mm.
And we're always looking for local blackfellas and anyone that's interested in all the parts of the performance, whether it's on stage, off stage, even if, you know, you're like, oh, I just want to come and write a review, or I want to write an article, or I want to just kind of test the thing about the sector that I don't see myself reflected in, and we want to be a part of that conversation as well.
Circa, I would think, would come from, is there like a circa school that you can go through TAFE, or can you come from a background of being a gymnast or even a break dancer? Whatever the case may be, it brings you to the table.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, we work with artists that have gone through ACPA and done, you know, a dance training and then transitioned into circus.
Okay.
I'm formerly circus trained from the National Institute of Circus Arts down in Melbourne.
So there is
a university degree.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you. There you go.
A Bachelor of Circus Arts.
A Doctor of Circuit.
Yeah.
Circa. So tell us your journey, Harley, as a First Nation man in this industry, circa.
Yeah. So I grew up always doing circus. You know, it was what I did after school as like my recreational sport.
Mm.
And
most brothers out there kicking the pigskin around.
Yeah.
NRL, well, AFL.
Yeah.
And you're chucking your left leg over your right ear.
But I reckon our mob have always been very acrobatic and physical, you know. You see the brothers kicking a ball and then next minute, big flip. Yeah, celebrate. Showing off. Yeah, exactly. So I just wasn't good at kicking the ball.
Good at doing the flips.
Yeah, exactly. And so from there, I went on and studied at NICO, at the National Institute of Circus Arts. Mm-hmm. And through that process, I joined Circus Oz Black Flip program, which was...
Black Flip?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So where's Black Flip based?
That was in Melbourne through Circus Oz.
Okay.
And it was a program for
black people
emerging to find a pathway into the circus industry and being a part of all of that. Yeah, and
many brothers and sisters in that.
Yeah, so the program has stopped. It's sort of come to an end. Well,
you can reboot that.
Oh yeah. So that's right. And longest way back we did Blackflip, and then Circa came on to support Blackflip, and so the Blackflip acrobats went to Brisbane to train at the Circus Studio.
Okay.
And that was kind of the start of this sort of long lineage of conversation about how are we doing this, what are we doing, how are we going to do this, you know. Mm. And then from there, it's come to this point where Circuit Cairns has existed as this professional ensemble with pathways, with workshops, with programs for mob to kind of come together, learn, train, you know. And we work with, like, circus is so diverse. We work with dancers, we work with clowns, stand-up comedians, you know, finding just any kind of pathway into sort of storytelling with a strong physical and emotive, you know.
Platform as such.
Yeah.
You know, like a foundation as such. Fantastic. So, look, this is all exciting. So, looking good to come and watch you guys perform. Cairns Performing Arts Centre, February 10th and February 11th, 8 p.m. Would you take this interstate, intercity?
We hope to. We hope to see more of our stories on all the stages, you know.
Okay, good.
From big ones to little ones out in remote communities. I think that art and storytelling shouldn't be exclusive. It's not for any one person or group of people. It's for everyone. And we need to work harder to make sure that everyone gets to see it.
And to tell our stories as storytellers, we are First Nation people, by any means necessary, whatever vehicle we're using, and you're just using Circa as the vehicle to tell our stories. And I love that, brother. Some people sing it, some people dance it, some people artistic and draw it.
Yeah.
Okay, and you're just using Circa. How do you operate? Is it a business entity or are you government funded? Or
we're government funded, so we're very, very luckily supported by the Arts Queensland and the Tim Fairfax Foundation, as well as the RISE initiative through the Australian government.
Yep.
And that allows us the freedom and the kind of security to invest in people.
Yes.
And instead of investing in commodities and taking from place, we can use our time and our resources to put back and contribute to a stronger future.
Exactly. Beautiful. Well, congratulations. Great to catch up with you. We've had yarns before on this program, but good to see you in the flesh, because a lot of our yarns have been on phone. So that's why when you walk through the door, is that what you look like? You said the same thing to me. So congratulations, Harley Man, to Delhi, Waka Waka Man, and performing here with Circa Cairns. And so you're the director as well as performer for this fantastic event called The Wet, and that is happening in your mob. So your local mob, or your mob there on the Tablelands, down there in Innisfail, Townsville, come for a drive 4 hours north and check out this fantastic program, this performance, 10th and 11th of February at CPAC, Cairns Performing Arts Centre. Harley, good yarning with you.
Pleasure. Thanks, Trevor.
Keep doing what you're doing. Proud of the work that you're doing. Please do keep in touch. And don't forget this vehicle in regard to promoting anything that you do, my brother.
Ah, pleasure.
One love. All right, you take care, brother. Talk soon, eh?
See ya. Bye.
Beautiful yarn there. That's with Harley Mann, and he's the creative director and the performer for the up-and-coming, Circa Cairns are performing the program called The Wet. And it's about the story about here in far north Queensland, monsoonal season, the wet, and that's a part of our life. And we as local people, we welcome our wet, and they call it cyclone season. Not good for our tourists as such, but it's the world we live in. Fantastic. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong? Add to the conversation here on National Talk Black, the deadly number, 1-800-422-416.
No, I can't say I let go. You're gone when I need you the most. They say it's hard, but you never know. What you had for so long, then it's gone. When I wake, smell the coffee. My lungs, breathe it in and I'm happy. wish it all was just a dream, but it's not, it's never what it seems. When the days are dark and the room is feeling empty, I know that I can lean on you when I'm feeling heavy. You will catch my tears when the days are looking darker. You are my pillow and you're all I got, oh, when I fall apart. When I fall apart, when I fall apart, yeah, yeah, yeah. The house is silent and it's past three, oh, in my room, now it feels like I can't breathe. I start to cry and get angry. I'm too young to lose you, can't you see? Yeah. I sit and stare as the phone rings. It ain't you, but I wish that it could be. Fall apart. When I fall apart, when I fall apart, when the days are dark and the room is feeling empty, I know that I can lean on you when I'm feeling heavy. You will catch my tears when the days are looking darker. You are my pillow and you're a God, oh, when I fall apart.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, CBM 98.7.
I remember the day. Yeah, to Daily Mob, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Number you need to call, Jan is yours truly, Trevor Tim, 20 Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, 1 hour program, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Voice for our people do utilise it. Let's look at the statement here from Australian Prime Minister. Anthony Albanese will push for bipartisan support on a referendum that aims to set up an Indigenous consultative committee in Parliament. When it meets today, the first time this year, the landmark referendum to be held later this year will establish an Indigenous voice that can make representations to Parliament on policies affecting them. If passed, that would add language to its constitution, which cannot be amended without referendum. A recognised Australian's Indigenous citizen for the first time. A poll for the Australian newspaper released on Monday showed 56% of voters supported the change in constitution, with 37% opposing it. Australia is seeking to give more recognition to its Aboriginal people who have inhabited the land for 60,000 years, but track well below national averages on most social economic measures. I believe very firmly that Australians should take the opportunity that they'll have in the second half of this year to cast a vote for yes, to cast a vote to walk upon the path of reconciliation, Albanese told reporters in Canberra. It might just make some people's lives, some of the most disadvantaged people in our country, their lives better. And Albanese, who has staked much of his political capital on the referendum in a country that has only passed 8 of them since becoming an independent nation, said he wanted to get as much agreement as possible. This should be above politics, he said, adding it hoped to introduce the legislation in the current term of the parliament. The federal opposition Liberal Party has not yet backed the referendum, but a group which includes some prominent Indigenous Australians and lawmakers have launched a campaign against it. They say it will not resolve the issues affecting the country's roughly 1 million Indigenous citizens. And that's where it's at this point in time. Maybe you want to talk about that. We've got 9 minutes left on the program. Jan Upstrong here, National Talk Black.